Thank you very much, Pastor. People of God, praise the Lord. Your turning point has come. Everything the enemy has stolen from your life will be returned, restored abundantly today in Jesus' name. And when God created you, anything he didn't plant in your life that the enemy has planted, that thing is uprooted tonight in Jesus' name. Every plant, every sickness, every infirmity, every iniquity, every negative thing, look around, that God has not put in your life, tonight, uprooted. Somebody shout, uprooted. It's done in Jesus' name. Tonight, you have a testimony. I have a testimony. Say it aloud. Because God, through Christ, is going to work in your life. And he says, I will work, and nobody can let it or hinder it. Say your own amen. For yourself, for your miracle tonight, say your own amen. Father, God of love, compassion, mercy, might, Lord, we come tonight. You love everyone, and we pray you manifest your love in everyone's life tonight, in Jesus' name. Turning around, turning around, turning around. Turn everyone around away from evil. And turn everyone into the power, manifestation of God tonight, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It is done. In Jesus' name, we pray. Give a good amen. I meet you, Acts chapter 9. And I'm going to read verses 4, 5, and 6. And I want to tell you about this man that had an all-round turning point. Talk about his personal life turning point. Talk about his professional life turning point. And talk about his political life turn around. In every area of the life of this man that we're going to look at tonight, he had a turning point. Why am I talking about him? Because I want to talk to you that every area of your life, every area, while you are down, while you are up, while you are here, you are there, anywhere you move to, in every area of your life tonight, there's going to be, tell me there, tell me out loud. If you believe it, say turning point. I'm talking about experiencing an all-round turning point. Experiencing it, possessing it, having it, tasting it, and living in the all-round turning point that God brings about in your life. Acts 9, verse 4. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why? Saul, Saul, why? You must put a why on every action in your life before there'll be a turning point. You're going to Damascus, why? You're coming from Jerusalem, why? You have all these people around you that are goading you, challenging you, encouraging you, why? Now you have a letter of authority. What are you doing with that letter? Why? When you put a why in your life, and you put a why around all the actions of your life, that is going to be the beginning of, that is the start, that's going to be the origin of a turning point in your life. Why? A voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Look at verse 5. In verse 5, and he said, Who art thou, Lord? He knew the Lord talking. Why? Because the voice came from heaven. And if any voice is coming from on high, any voice coming from a place so high, you couldn't touch, you couldn't see, you couldn't have any contact with, he knew it's the Lord. And the Lord said, I am Jesus. Jesus is Lord. Jesus, the mighty God, is the mountain moving Lord. And even a soul with a letter of authority from the Sanhedrin could not resist, revoke, turn that power of the Lord. And he said, I am the Lord, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to knock, to kick against the pricks. The man was doing a hard job that will not have reward in heaven. He put all his skill, all his mind, all his purposefulness, all his energy, all his contact. He put everything into what he was doing. And the summary of what he was doing was kicking against the priest. Hard job that has no approval from heaven. Hard job that has no reward in eternity. And for the first time, Saul now had to think about his life. So all the hard work I'm doing, kicking against the pricks, running after the followers of Christ, and ill-treating, imprisoning the followers of Christ. So it's hard job, sweating, running, going about, and using every skill that he had, and even gathering people around him to do it successfully. And yet, it was a hard job of kicking against the pricks. We need to look at our lives. It's not enough to say, I'm doing a hard job. I'm mastering a hard job. Think about it. Where will that hard job lead you? You know that people who do dangerous work, dangerous on the road, dangerous on the sea, dangerous in the community. And people feared Saul, fearful, fearsome. And people doing jobs that communities fear them, hard job. And then connection with Satan, connection with the groups that be, hard job. And yet this hard job that they're doing does not have any reward in eternity. Even here on earth, they're kicking against the pricks. And he thought about that for the first time in his life. Look at verse 6. In verse 6, and he trembling and astonished Saul, never trembled for anybody. He knew the prison wardens. He knew the prison authorities. And he went to every house, taking this and taking this. Once he knew that this is a follower of Christ, no matter their height, no matter their stature, no matter who they belong to, their name, he'll take them. He never trembled for anyone. But you know, there are people who do what they do so aggressively, and they never tremble for anyone. But a trembling day is coming when the God of heaven will call them to record. And for the first time, maybe in their lives, they'll tremble, they'll be astonished. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Remember, the first question was asked by the Lord himself, why? And as he responded to that why, and he thought about his life, and he thought about his hard job that he had given himself, he now asked his own question, what? What? After all I've done, after where I'm going, with the letter of authority already in my hand, what do you have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. That's why you came tonight. The Lord will tell you what you must do. A few amens there. He'll tell you how your life will become greater, brighter, purposeful. That now, after this turning point, because it was at this very moment that his life turned around. I pray for you, I pray for myself. Our lives will turn around. You have not seen the best yet, but tonight, the best will start in your life. You have not achieved the greatest yet. The greatest will start at the turning point in your life tonight in Jesus' name. Once again, the topic, experiencing an all-round turning point. Look at three things here. Number one, the repentance of an uncommon sinner. The one we're talking about is not, you know, somebody pilfering on the road, or somebody putting his hand in the pocket of somebody in the market. This one was an uncommon sinner, and he repented. That gives me joy concerning you. Whoever you are, whatever you have done, repentance comes for you tonight in Jesus' name. The amens are going down. You better make up your mind, because there's a lot of amen in your life tonight. And so if you are going to say amen, get ready. Let your soul, let your spirit, let your heart, let your inner man, let everything within you accept the word and say, so it is, so it will be. That's the meaning of the amen in your life. The repentance of an uncommon sinner. Number two is the recovery from an untreatable sickness. There are some sicknesses that are untreatable. Did you ever think about that? A sickness, untreatable. And you won't go too far in finding out about them. There was a king, maybe you want to call him emperor. He had an untreatable sickness because his name Abimelech, he had taken Abraham's wife. And as a king, he had access to any treatment anywhere. But Abimelech had an untreatable sickness. But when the prophet of God came in, his sickness was treated. Tonight, your sickness treated. Yeah. Naaman had an untreatable sickness. He was a captain, a great, great man. He had access to any physician, any doctor, because he was a man of valor. But you know, his sickness was untreatable. But thank God, when he got in touch with Elisha, the untreatable sickness was treated with one word, and he became well. You become well tonight. I don't know the name of this person I'm going to refer to now, because it just says, a certain woman had an issue of blood 12 years and had spent all that she had, and she was nothing bettered. An untreatable sickness. But she said, if I may but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. I came to announce to you tonight, you'll be made whole. Your sickness, untreatable. Your sickness that you may carry for a long time. Tonight is the turning point in your life. The Lord will treat you, will touch you, and will transform your life. All the sicknesses will vanish away from your body. Look at this young man. Again, I don't know his name, but he had been impotent, bedridden for 38 years. Even an angel came from heaven and troubled the waters. And before he could go in, another person stepped in. He'd been there now for these years, untreatable. But Jesus comes. And when Jesus comes, everything untreatable in your life will be treated instantaneously. And Jesus said, wilt thou be made whole? And he began to tell the story. I appear untreatable. I've been here for a long time. And when the angel comes and troubles the waters, the pool, I try to get in. Always, 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 somebody gets in before me. And Jesus said, you have been untreatable for many years now. Take up your bed and walk. Instantaneously, that untreatable man was healed. I'm talking about you. Healed, delivered, set free, and every yoke in your life broken tonight in Jesus' name. The recovery from an untreatable sickness. Look at number three. Number three is receiving. You cannot come here and go back empty-handed. Tonight, you have to receive more than what you came for. What you came for, you receive. And more than what you came for, you receive tonight in Jesus' name. The receiving of an undeniable salvation. Look at number one. Number one is the repentance of an uncommon sinner. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, reading from verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter 1, reading from verse 12. And I thank Christ Jesus. Here is Paul. Here is, he was Saul. He has now become Paul. He turning around, a change has taken place from Saul to Paul. And I'm reading it for you. I said, I'm reading it for you. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. But you know, he was faithless. And that time he met the Lord on the way to Damascus. A turning around, a turning point took place. Now, from faithless, faithful. From faithless, what? The Lord will rewrite the story of your life. Look at verse 13. In verse 13, who was? Isn't that a wonderful thing? The verb we use for our lives is, was, will be. Is present, was past, will be future. And now he says, who was before. That means life had changed. Turning around, turning point has taken place. Who was before? A blasphemer. But he repented. You will repent. And a persecutor. Terrible. He smiled when others cried. When he laid heavy hands on people and they cried, he had joy in tormenting people, persecuting people. And the more they cried, he knew they were sad and sorrowful. He laid it on them more. So he was a persecutor and injurious. That is, he injured people. He didn't care. He injured them physically, bound them, took them to the prison. He injured them emotionally. He'll take that woman away, and the children were crying. He injured them emotionally. He injured them spiritually. He said, now you must blaspheme. You say, Jesus is Lord. Then he told them what to say, so that he will be lessening the pressure on them. He injured them spiritually. He injured them professionally. He hurt that that merchant, that trader, that seller, that office owner has followed Jesus, and he turned his brain, his mind, and he ran there. Merchant, trader, seller, I heard you have gone to follow Jesus. And that one said, yes, I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. He injured him. He himself said he was a blasphemer. He was a persecutor. He was injurious. Then he said, but I obtained mercy. You will obtain mercy. If you are the person I'm talking to, respond. I said, you will obtain mercy. Because he also confesseth and forsaketh a sin shall have mercy. That's what you came for tonight. You'll have mercy in Jesus' name. Because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Look at verse 14. In verse 14, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. He repented, and after he repented, the mercy of God, the forgiveness of God, and the compassionate love of God came upon his life. Whatever you've done, maybe near what Saul did, whatever you've done against God, against Christ, against the people of God, even against your wife, against your husband, against your neighbors, you confess and forsake the Lord. Has mercy waiting for you tonight. Say, the Lord has mercy waiting for me. And I have mercy upon you. He will forgive you and put all your sin in the sea of God's forgetfulness, that will never be remembered against you anymore for the rest of your life and for all eternity. Acts chapter 17. I'm reading from verse 30. Acts 17, verse 30. And the times of this ignorance, God winked at. Saul, who became Paul, said, I did it ignorantly, in unbelief. He didn't know he was kicking against the pricks. He didn't know he was persecuting Christ by persecuting Christians. He didn't know that all those blasphemies, that those blasphemies were recorded in the books of record, reckoning in heaven. Now he knew that those things he did ignorantly, they were actually wrong, and judgment would have come upon him. And he got mercy. Now he turns to you and he says, and the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to do what? To repent. Now he commandeth. He's not suggesting. You know, you can, when somebody suggests something to you, you can weigh it, head or tail, good or bad. Do I, don't I? You can do that with suggestion. But when a command comes from the Almighty God, there is just one thing to do. He has commanded, and he says, I'm willing to overlook. I'm willing to forget. I'm willing to blot out everything you've done in the past. Only one condition, repent. Now, he commandeth all men. That includes every one of us. Everyone, everywhere to repent. Sorry, repentance. He had mercy. You repent tonight, you are going to have mercy. Look at point number two. Point number two, the recovery from an untreatable sickness. Now, maybe you know the story. Let me just recap, tell you. Saul was coming from Jerusalem. He had an evil intention. He was going to Damascus. And anyone he found in Damascus calling on the name of the Lord, he'll arrest them. He had authority in his hand that any prison he goes to, he could fill all those prisons with these believers and torment them. That's the errand he was running. Before he reached Damascus, the Lord confronted him and stopped him. What mercy that he will not add sin to sin. The Lord will have mercy on you. And if you have any intention to do anything that will add to your sorrow, add to your suffering, the Lord in mercy will stop you. And so the Lord in mercy stopped him. He fell to the ground. Then he heard the word of the Lord. Saul, Saul, why now? All this, you've abandoned your main work, your profession. He was a tent maker. He abandoned the tent making. And now he pursued just one job: to blaspheme, to injure, to persecute. And that's what he now did every day. And he had people that gave him money, the people who could have been doing what he was doing, persecuting Christians, but he didn't have the stamina, they didn't have the courage, they didn't have the drive. They said, I would have been doing it like you're doing it, persecuting those people. I don't have the stamina. I don't have the wherewithal. And since you have now committed yourself full time to injure, to persecute, and to oppress, since you are doing that full time, you've left your tent making job. Here is money. Here is money. And he was so happy that he could do that. But the Lord met him on the way. He fell to the ground. And look at now, verse 8 of chapter 9. And Saul arose from the earth. And when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. The presence, the power of God blinded him. He saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. Now, Saul, what are you going to do? There are clinics, there are hospitals, there are medical centers here in Damascus. Will you go to any of those places? Oh, he said, I cannot. Why not? Don't you want your sight back? Oh, he said, this one is an untreatable sickness. Even if I go to any of those places, this one was given because of my evil ways. And this one is an untreatable sickness. And so we're told that he was brought to Damascus. Look at verse 9. In verse 9, and he was 3 days without sight. He had been blinded. The one who gave him eyes. But he gave him eyes for a purpose. He created him and gave him good eyesight for a purpose, that You will see what I want you to do. You will see the people I want you to help. You will see the people I want you to teach. You'll see the people I want you to train. And he gave him a sharp mind, a good brain, a good training. But the purpose for which God gave him the good eyes, he forsook that purpose and now was following after destroying lives. And he had good sight. Could get anywhere, go to where he'll get the letter of authority. And he will read that letter of authority. If it says everything he had in mind, because he could read very well, he'll go. If not, he'll say, can you add this? Can you add that? He had good eyesight to be able to read all those letters of authority, but was using his good sight, his great strength, his great intellect, was using that for a wrong purpose. And so the Lord took away the sight. That's why he knew, even if I go to visit the center there, the clinic there, the hospital, the pharmacy there, he said, this is not their area, an untreatable sickness. And so we're told that neither did he eat or drink. Look at verse 17, and Ananias went his way and entered into the house and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, say amen before I explain to you. It was Mr. Saul. But now, a turning point has taken place. I look at you and I'm so happy that you'll not be Mr. so and so anymore. You are now Brother so and so. You'll not be Miss or Mrs. so and so anymore. Tell me what you are now. You are Sister so and so now. And the title sister is more important than all the titles you had before. Because you're not just my sister, you're sister to the Lord Jesus Christ. You're a daughter of the Almighty God. And every good thing you need, heaven will provide for you in Jesus' name. He said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou chemist has sent me, that thou mightest receive, if you have your Bible, receive what? Tell me. Let those who don't have the Bible here so they can see it with you. Receive thy sight. That's all. Of course, I knew he was an intelligent man. You know, he could have said, I'll brave it. I'll do whatever it takes. I'll pay whatever money I need to pay. That I'll go to all the great, great people in the city. I'll send back to Jerusalem and I'll tell them I had an encounter. Now my sight is gone. And they will do everything to restore my sight. Intelligent Saul knew, no, they can't do it because this one is from him. And nobody can do this one. And so he came to the right source. I welcome you tonight. You come to the right source. Every untreatable sickness, disease, in your life, in your body, they're taken away tonight in Jesus' name. And Ananias said, Brother Saul, Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest has sent me unto thee that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Say amen.
Amen.
The first healing miracle by Ananias, the sight received. But he said, so you know what? You also receive the Holy Ghost. Because me, Ananias, I cannot be with you every time. Now I am with you, and you are going to recover your sight. But you now receive the Holy Ghost. And ask, can you tell me why? Oh, because if the Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in your mortal body, he, the Holy Ghost that raised Jesus up, will quicken your mortal body. That any time sickness comes and Ananias is not there, the Holy Ghost there will keep on treating you. Amen. Keep on healing you. Amen. Keep on delivering you. Amen. Today, you have the initial deposit of your healing. Amen. He'll treat you. Amen. He'll take away your blindness. Amen. He'll take away your deformity. He'll take away every long-standing sickness in your life. And then you also have the resident Holy Spirit that anything that comes after the crusade and the evangelist, the pastor is not there, the Holy Ghost will be there with you. And once you call the name of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit, healing will continue. Deliverance will continue and your health will continue in Jesus' name. Look at Jeremiah. I'm reading from chapter 30. Jeremiah chapter 30. We're looking at verse 12. For thus says the Lord, thy bruise is incurable. Even God said to the people, this is untreatable, come to me. This is incurable, come to me. And thy wounds, grievous. Look at verse 15. In we're looking at verse 18, rather. Verse 18. That is Jeremiah chapter 30. Verse 18, thus says the Lord, behold, I will bring again the captivity of Jacob. And then it says of Jacob's tents, and have mercy on his dwelling places. And then it says, and the city shall be built, shall be builded upon her own heap. And then he goes on to say, and the palace shall remain after the manner thereof. Everything that was upside down before in your life, everything will come the right side up. Now look at verse 15. In verse 15, it tells us, why criest thou for thine affliction? Thy sorrow is incurable for the multitude of thine iniquity, because thy sins were increased. I have done these things unto thee. That's what happened to Saul. Now verse 17. Your healing time. Your miracle time. Your deliverance time. You know, God is such a loving God. All the time you had that suffering, he didn't want that on you. And now the moment you come and you say, I am that uncommon sinner, but I repent. So the untreatable sickness in your life, tonight. I want to see the person I'm talking to. Tonight. It will take away that sickness and that pain and that evil thing away from your life in Jesus' name. Verse 17, for I will restore health unto thee. The word thee means you. So you can put your name there. I will restore health unto. Okay, maybe I should say unto William. Where are you? Restoration of healing tonight in Jesus' name. And I will heal thee of thy wounds, says the Lord, because they called thee an outcast, saying, this is Zion whom no man seeketh after. But the Lord has now sought after you. And he has come with salvation. And he has come with healing. And he has come with deliverance. And everything you lost, the Lord is restoring to you tonight. Number three now is the receiving of an undeniable salvation. Receiving of an undeniable salvation. First Timothy chapter 1. I'm reading from verse 14. And the grace of our Lord. He wasn't his Lord. He was persecuting the people who called Jesus their Lord. But now a turning point has taken place. And now he says, it's my Lord, it's your Lord, it's our Lord. And he said the grace was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Verse 15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, worthy for all to accept. Say, I accept. Worthy of all acceptation, the faithful saying that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. If a saved was sinners like you and than you, it will save you. If a saved more terrible sinners than you, he will save you. So don't say, I've gone too far, I cannot be saved. No. Those who went far, farther from you than you, the Lord saved them. And tonight, the Lord is saving you. Amen. He forgave all the sins of Saul. He'll forgive all your sins. He gave him a new heart, a new life, a new direction. Tonight, he'll give you a new life. And he'll give you a new direction in life. He'll put his grace in your life. And the grace of the Lord will be so abundant, you will not remember all the sins you ever committed in your life in Jesus' name. And the Spirit of God will bear witness in your heart that now you are saved. I am saved. I am saved. You know, the people who had been saved before, they don't say that. They think it's only the people who are just getting saved now. But you know, Paul, he had been saved before he started, before he wrote this epistle to Timothy. And yet he talked about a salvation. And he said, Timothy, you know what? I am saved. Anybody there, can you tell me? The Lord confirm it in your life in Jesus' name. And actually, as we look at Romans chapter 10, reading from verse 13, Romans chapter 10, verse 13, for whosoever, I'm so glad for that word, whosoever. You've gone deep, you've gone high, you've gone to the sea, you've gone so far in sin, you are the whosoever. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You shall be saved. Salvation is waiting for you. Forgiveness waiting for you. God now has opened the book of life. He wants to write the name down in the book of life. Your name is entering right now into that book of life. Where are you? It's bowed and eyes closed. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's no maybe, there's no perhaps, there's no doubt. Everyone, whosoever will say, I've been in the wrong way, I've been in the sinful way, now I repent, now I come. I've been such a terrible sinner. People didn't know because you knew how to cover it up, an uncommon sinner. And yet you come to the Lord now and you say, Lord, I repent. Mercy is already available for you. Heads bowed, eyes closed. You want this salvation of the Lord, the forgiveness, and you want to make this time a turning point into the salvation of God in your life. Wherever you are, He sees you there, He loves you too. Raise up your hand. God bless you. The Lord bless you with mercy. The Lord bless you with salvation. The Lord bless you with forgiveness. The Lord bless you with the joy of your name in the book of life. You're raising up your hand. Please stand up. Say, Lord, I'm now for you. I'm now with you. And I'll come into Christ. Tell the Lord, forgive me. Put all my sins, according to your promise, in the sea of your forgetfulness, not to be remembered against me anymore. He'll do it. He's a good God, a loving God. Don't look at yourself as, you know, so dirty and so black and so sinful. His mercy reaches everyone, and His mercy reaches you. His mercy, His love, His salvation reaches everyone. Are you standing? If you have not stood up and yet you know you need the salvation of God, the forgiveness of God, while the depth of His mercy is revealed to us now, stand up and say, Lord, I come. And whosoever comes to Him, He will in no wise reject. He receives every sinner. Christ receiveth all sinners. Come. While you are standing, tell the Lord, I'm sorry. That's repentance. All the evil I did, I said, and how far I'd gone. But Lord, I come to you. I believe You died for me on the cross of Calvary. Receive me, Lord. He has received you. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm praying with you now. Keep up that hand. Keep standing. Father, we thank you for your love. Father, we thank you for your mercy and compassion. Father, we thank you for your impartiality, that whosoever will call on the name of the Lord, that he will be the Savior. You will save them. All these who have thought about their lives, turned away from their sin, and are calling on Jesus, your only begotten Son, who died for everyone on the cross of Calvary. And are saying, Lord, I come to you. Accept them, Lord. Forgive them, Lord. Save them, Lord. Turn them around for the better. In Jesus' name. Forgive all their sins. And let the grace that makes us live in newness of life come to everyone right now. Lord, God of love, God of mercy and compassion, write their names in the book of life in heaven. Thank you, Lord, for the answer. It is done. It is done. In Jesus' name we pray. A good amen. Our counselors will get to you there. Keep on standing. And whatever they ask of you, your name, your number, your address, give it faithfully to help us to follow up on you. Praise the Lord. Congratulations. You are saved.
Congratulations again. You are saved. You are no longer an ordinary person, not just Mr., Mrs., or Miss., or Master. You are now a child of God. Welcome to the kingdom of God. Please listen as our counselors will be directing you. Please give them your correct name, your address, your phone number must be 11 digits. This will help us to reach to you, to assist you in your new faith. This is the best decision you have ever made in your life. So, counselors, let's make sure we attend to these newcomers into the kingdom of God. If where you are, nobody has reached you, you gave your life to Christ, but there is no counselor near you there, please, you can indicate so that they can come to you. And if you are watching online and you gave your life to Christ after the pastor's message just now, there is a link below your player. The link is gckhq.org/connect. Let me repeat it. gckhq.org/connect. It is below your player. Click it and fill the form. so we can assist you further in your new work with Christ. Also, if you are listening there, the radio or television, and you have just given your life to Christ, please send your name, phone number, and your location address via SMS or WhatsApp to this number, +234 91 5444 9263. Let me repeat it again. You send, for those who are watching via radio or television, you are giving your life to Christ, please send your address via SMS or WhatsApp to +234 91 5444 9263. There will be a special meeting, lunch hour with Jesus, for all those who have given their life to Christ tonight. You are so important to God and to the kingdom of God that we need to help you. So, for you that have just given your life to Christ, there is a program, a forum for you tomorrow at 3 p.m. at the long hall, this way as you are going towards my left, you see the long hall there, it is called the White House. Please be there. Those who gave your life to Christ yesterday, you are also to be there. There is also a special program for you. It is called Converse Rally. There will be a special online banquet for those watching online who gave their lives to Christ on Sunday, 1st March 2026. More details about this will be sent to you. Our pastor will be delighted to have you join this special banquet. For those in Port Harcourt here, the banquet will take place the same day, Sunday, 1st March 2026, at the Dipalai Bible Church State Headquarters, the main auditorium, where we had the Believers' Conference today. Please be there. The address again is Dipalai Bible Church State Headquarters, East West Road, Room Odara, Port Harcourt, River State. The time is 3 p.m. on that day. Praise the Lord. Our counselors, God bless you. You can indicate if you are through with your area. Those at the back, towards my left hand. If you are through, just wave. Those at the middle, and those at the right hand side here. Thank you for your labor. Please let's hurry up. As I said before, if you gave your life to Christ, you have not been reached, please indicate. You can let the counselors know. They are close to you there. Counselors, thank you. If you are through, you wave so that I can see either your hand or your flag or whatever you have to indicate. Remember, the prayer of the man of God is coming. I can see the flag here now, the right flank. Yes, at the middle. At the middle here, are we through? Towards my left, Okay. Okay, I can see that flag at the middle. So where's the my left-hand side? Very shortly, the man of God is coming back for the miracle prayer, so don't go away. Tonight, you will get your miracle. If you believe, say better, amen. Tonight, your turning point is sure. As sure as the word of God. Those counselors at this left-hand side, are we through? At the back. Okay. You are through. Praise the Lord. Let's be getting ready for a miracle as the man of God is coming back now.
Amen. I am ready for my miracle. You will not be disappointed. Amen. Your expectation, God will fulfill. Amen. Let's stand up now for the miracle here at the Alpha location. All the places were connected by yourself there, the congregation there, your nation there. The miracle power sent to you right now. God is ready. You are ready to receive. Amen. You lay your hand where you have the challenge. You raise up the other hand. And the Lord will definitely at this time visit you. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, the mighty name of Jesus, Amen. The name that cannot fail. The name that moves every mountain. The name that heals every sickness. Lord, we pray you come forth, touch your people, heal your people, set them free in Jesus' name. Every sickness from the top of the head to the tip of the toe, Lord, remove from everyone right now. Amen. When Ananias came and said, Brother Saul, the Lord will meet you in the way has sent me that you might receive your sight. Laid hands on him. Immediately the scale fell off his eyes. And his eyes were open and he saw. Immediately now, Lord, touch your people. Amen. Heal your people. Amen. Those who have pains all over the body, joint, knee, ankle, elbow, and anywhere in the hips, remove the pain now in Jesus' name. Amen. And those who are paralyzed, I pray, Lord, touch them. Give their bones strength that they stand up and walk in Jesus' name. Those who have withered hands, let life come to the withered hand in Jesus' name. One arm shorter than the other, Lord, make the shorter arm to go up, to grow out, to be equal to the other in Jesus' name. Those who have one leg shorter than the other, that short leg grow out in Jesus' name. Finger, toe, whatever, cut off by accident, Lord, supply the missing finger and the missing toe in Jesus' name. Those who have bad eyesight, Lord, I pray the blindness is removed. Dimness of sight removed. Glaucoma, cataract healed in Jesus' name. Deafness healed right now. Issue of blood dry up right now. Ulcer healed right now. Cancer healed in Jesus' name. Brain problem, mental problem healed in Jesus' name. Everywhere, Lord, touch your people. Reverse the case of sickness and bring total, total, complete healing upon everyone. You're a good Lord, a loving Lord, merciful Lord. We rejoice because we know your mercy and love, you've done it. You are able in your ability. It is done. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. You believe you've got it, say good, good, amen. Now you will not, if you're sitting down because, you know, of your condition before, things have changed now. You can stand up. You have been depending on crutches and all that. The Lord has healed you. Couldn't see before, now you can see. But somebody was not hearing, now they can hear. And you yourself, where that pain was, it is gone. You're healed. I said you're healed. I am healed. Then you do what you couldn't do before. God bless you.